What is good, Defenders Nation? Welcome to episode 298, two away, of the LAFC podcast, heard in well over 100 countries worldwide. Welcome to Defenders of the Bank, here since season one. You know my voice, it's the Scarf, J.R. Liebert, and welcome. It is Monday after game day, which is one day later than we usually record. We know we used to be Andy Diaz's favorite nocturnal podcast. We've been doing a lot of our podcasts now the Sunday morning after a Saturday game. Lots of craziness on our schedule. You'll notice that my partner in pod, one Christian Philly Philemon, not with me on this one, unfortunately for me, but good for him. He is getting set to call game two and possibly game three of the MASL final featuring Kansas City and Chihuahua. And by the way, if you want to watch that final, I don't believe he starts. I don't believe he's going to play. But on Kansas City, the Kansas City Comets, their backup goalie is former LAFC backup goalkeeper Philip Ejimadu. So he and Jonathan Reimer of Shoulder to Shoulder at Boozology both getting ready to call the final game of the 2023-24 MASL season. So that's why Philly can't be here. I had a lot of stuff going on yesterday as well, but we are here today ready to talk about Saint Denis blessing us with 3 points against Portland. What an incredible match day number 10 it was at BMO Stadium. We decided to make that as difficult as possible. I just got the word that we're not showing up on YouTube. That's interesting. I don't know why that is. I don't know why it's not showing up on YouTube Live right now. I see it on Instagram. Oh, I think we put it on Twitter. I don't know. I think I screwed that one up. But we're gonna keep going on this one. I don't think it's on YouTube Live for some reason. So that might hurt us a little bit on this episode. You know what? That's my fault. It's Scarf. I'm doing it solo style, trying to produce everything and get it going. I didn't see YouTube as an option, but that's my fault. We shouldn't have done it, I think, on... I don't know. What happens if I click one of these things? This is going to be interesting. All right, let's see. I'm trying something out here, everybody. Oh, there we go. All right. Let's try. This will be fun. We're doing this mid-episode. Why not? We're trying something out. This is going to be weird, but it's this is the beauty of live production. Here we go. Now let's see. Yeah, I think here we go. Let's see if that'll work. Ruben, thank you in the chat for letting us know. Let me know, Ruben, if we're live on YouTube now, a little behind the scenes, trying to get things working. Thank you guys for bearing with me here on episode 298. Guys, we've only done this 297 times before. You think we have it all figured out by now. We clearly do not, but that's okay. It's Scarf. I'm figuring it out. Everything is good. And again, we didn't get to say anything to you guys on game day, but happy LAFC day. That's right. April 27th, since 2018 in the city of Los Angeles, has been LAFC Day. So for that, we played for the first time on LAFC Day here in season number 7. So that's pretty cool. Our first ever match on LAFC Day. We're, of course, going to get through all of the normal things that we do this day in LAFC history, some news and notes, and we will have our Angel City Minute and a check-in on LAFC 2 before we get into the match at Portland. There we go. Ruben says we got it up and going on YouTube. Don't worry. It only took me 298 episodes to figure this out. I want to remind everybody first and foremost that the Mo Fazio Futsal Court fundraising effort is still underway. Hit up the LAFC Foundation on that one. LAFC.com/Mo-Fazio for all of your donating needs. Ben, I got you. Listen, we got to get this court built in Mo's honor. We've been talking about this for far too long. We've got to get it funded. I think people need to start hitting up the LAFC Foundation and asking what's going on, because this thing should already be funded and ready to roll. I want to play my first ever futsal match in my life out on the court built in honor of Mo Fazio. So let's get that fundraising effort completed and get that court built. Let's get into this day in LAFC history. It's probably my favorite segment that we do on each and every episode. We talked about April 27th game day being LAFC day. That's right. Defenders of the Bank scarves. I have them on Christmas Tree Lane. Defenders of the Bank merch, by the way, defendersofthebank.com. Hit the shop button. And thanks to our good friends at 500 level, we have a complete selection of merch with more coming, by the way. Our fantastic artist, Dexter Quinn, doing a wonderful job for us. All of the episode covers you see, a lot of the designs that you see in the shop, he's just absolutely incredible. We want to give a big shout out to Dexter for all that he does with all the art that we ask him to make and all the stuff that he comes up with on his own. He's like unbelievably talented. He's got some cool stuff in the works for us too. So make sure you check out defendersofthebank.com and click on the shop icon. You can also listen to our episodes on there. I'm actually going to begin writing in the next couple of months, some articles and everything there for about LAFC on defendersofthebank.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you guys check out defendersofthebank.com for all of your defenders needs. But this day in LAFC history, we are recording this. It's Philly and I. It's always Philly and I. We are recording this. And you guys, the Defenders Nation, you're part of it too. We're recording this on April 29th. And on April 29th, 2018, the first ever home match at Bank of California Stadium. That's right. Before it was BMO, it was Bank of California Stadium, and the first ever match, who can forget, Laurent Simon and the goal heard round Los Angeles, an incredible 93rd minute free kick against Stephen Fry as that ball knuckled right as it got to him. It was a 1-0 win that only the script writers in Hollywood could have possibly foreseen. An absolutely incredible goal. Good old Stephen Fry. He's been around a very, very long time and is a very, very good keeper. But that one was a bit of a gaffe by Stephen Fry, the longtime Sounders legend keeper. It was 6 saves for Tyler Miller in keeping the clean sheet. And of course, it was the grand opening of LAFC headquarters, the grand opening of Bank of California Stadium, and the first match in front of the 3252. 3252 made their debut. They had existed long before that, but in an MLS home match, that's where we first got to hear the chorus of the black and gold, the voices of the angels in the 3252. And that is this day in LAFC history. I learned this last week what a paisa was. That was fun. This might very clearly be obvious to many of you out there. The Paisa Boys drop, where Paisa Boys collaborated with LAFC, not geared intentionally anyway at me. I had to learn what the whole Paisa Boys thing was with the culture and everything else. I'm not afraid to say I don't know. I'm a teacher. That's the beauty of it, is I get to learn something. And I learned an awful lot because of the Paisa Boys and LAFC drop this last weekend. Paisa Boys collaborating with LAFC on 4 new merch pieces. I hear there might be a second drop in the works as well. But so far, it is a hat, a scarf, a hoodie, and a t-shirt. I believe those are all sold out all over the place. But if you give LAFC headquarters a call tomorrow, it's very possible they might have a couple of pieces still remaining. What happens is a lot of people buy them on match day. Maybe they buy a large and an extra large, because whoever there that it wants one of those shirts can't be there. And then they have to go back and return things. So always check a couple of days after one of these drops to see if they got any of these pieces returned. Most of the time, you can actually make more money if that's what you want to do by selling them online somewhere instead of returning them to LAFC HQ. But make sure you call LAFC HQ and check to see the Paisa Boys merchandise if there's any still in stock. Again, it was a brand new scarf, which of course I had to pick up, a hat, a hoodie, and a t-shirt. And if you ever want to see something really silly, put scarf in a hat. I tend to make hats look very small on my giant dome. So this is at least it was a snapback hat. So that was cool. And also check our Instagram page, excuse me. Check our Instagram page out because we did go live and posted that up there on our Instagram page from the drop. So you can check out everything as you see it there. Also, we had Luis Muller signing another short-term contract. Not sure how many more of these he's going to be able to sign. I got to check with John Thorington or LAFC PR on how many short-term contracts a player can sign before they actually have to be signed to the first team. But clearly, Muller, who got literally another minute in his LAFC black and gold career against Portland, is at the top of the list of players that we are bringing up from LAFC2. And again, I want to thank everybody in the chat right now. I love this one. We got the Mufasa 714 from YouTube saying, great time to take a break from studying for my finals to listen to Defenders of the Bank. We love you. Thank you so much for listening to us. What final are you studying for? Let us know. Maybe we can get you some answers, whatever final it is for wherever you're in school at, whatever you need. See if we can round up some answers here from the black and gold. I know a bunch of my volleyball players now listen to this. I coach eighth grade volleyball this year. Our seventh graders and our eighth graders, by the way, had playoff volleyball games this week. Actually today, what am I saying? I'm recording it on Monday. My goodness. We had a playoff volleyball game today. Seventh graders won, eighth graders won. So both of our teams are in the semifinals, which is really fun. Go us. Seventh graders played very well. Eighth graders played very well. It was a lot of fun today. And it's always great to be their coach. They do a wonderful job and they work really, really hard. So proud of my volleyball kids. I know it's a soccer podcast, but I'm a teacher and I do stuff outside of this. And sometimes you guys actually like to hear about it. So there you go. Into the semifinals for both our seventh grade and eighth grade teams. Let's get into the Angel City Minute real quick. They took 3 points from the North Carolina Courage on Sunday, April 21st, with a 2-1 victory behind a brace from Claire Emsley. The Courage's only goal was scored by Tyler Lucy, my favorite player to ever suit up for ACFC, who of course now plays for the Courage. Unfortunately, they could not keep the good times rolling against the Kansas City Current, the top scoring team in the league. We were up 1-0 and then level 1-1 until stoppage time, when it was banger after banger, two quick goals from Kansas City Current. And that's how we lose 3-1. Our next match is Friday, May 3rd at America First Field against the Utah Royals at 6:30 p.m., an expansion club in NWSL this season. And for all your ACFC news, make sure you check out the Angel City Chicks on any platform that you listen to podcast. It was another big night for LAFC2, as LAFC2 brought out some of the big boys in their match against Timbers 2 on Sunday. Eddie Segura, Nathan Ordaz, Tomas Angel, Eric Duenas, all starting for LAFC2 in front of keeper David Ochoa. And it would be Tomas Angel scoring the first goal in the 2-0 victory, vaulting LAFC to second place in the Western Conference, but tied for an MLS Next Pro best 2.33 points per match so far this season. LAFC2 takes on Real Monarchs in Utah on Sunday, May 5th at 6 p.m. What better place to celebrate Cinco de Mayo than Harriman, Utah? LAFC2 playing on Cinco de Mayo in Harriman, Utah. Yes. All right, let's talk about LAFC and Portland. This is probably, I think we all can agree in the chat, I think we can all agree for those of you watching at home, listening on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, however it is that you access Defenders of the Bank, I think we can all agree that Portland would be our secondary rival. All due respect to what San Jose wants to say or what Seattle says or any of the other things that are coming up soon, it'll probably be San Diego. But I just think 20 matches in against Portland, it's a matchup like no other, where I think it's more physical than most. I think it's just a little more nervy than most of the matches that we play. When we know we're seeing Portland and when Portland knows we're seeing us, we know that we are in a Gaddy versus Ward 15-round knockout slugfest. There are going to be great moments, but the entire match is going to be marked by whether it's yellow cards, whether it's fouls, whether it's controversial plays. And this one certainly lived up to the billing. 11 total yellows, despite what the stats say. It actually was 11 total yellows, including one that went from yellow to red, thanks to Diego Chara. 29 total fouls in this match, 16 by LAFC, 13 by Portland. This was as Portland LAFC as any of our matches get. And the other part is, guys, the matches that we play against them, unlike some of the matches where we play against some of these Liga MX teams where it's a foul fest and where, you know, the matches are kind of bogged down by physical play, the quality of play in this match was actually really high by both clubs, despite the 29 fouls, despite the 11 cards and yellow cards and the red card. The quality of play between these two clubs is often the highest that it gets to be all season. So something to think about, man, when it comes to these two clubs, when we play each other, it is just something totally different than any of our other matches during the season. Like we said, 20th meeting all time. 20 times we have taken on Portland now. Coming into this match, 7 wins, 6 losses, 6 draws. So we've played each other basically to a stalemate. However, we would get one up on them in this one. So now 8-6-6, LAFC over Portland. Phil Neville, it's still weird not saying Giovanni Savarese as the head man for Portland. It's now Phil Neville, the man who Messi casted away from Miami. It landed in Portland. Look, it was a really cool scene, even though it was at BMO. It was a really cool scene beforehand with Portland warming up. Every single one of their players came out in tucked in number 21 Diego Chara warmups. They did so because Diego Chara, suiting up in his 377th regular season MLS appearance for Portland, breaking the all-time MLS single season appearance record for with one club. There's like a lot of qualifiers to go along with that, but basically no player has ever suited up for more matches for one club in the regular season than Diego Chara's 377, breaking Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski's record. What's up, Mario? Breaking Wondolowski's record of 376 appearances for the San Jose Earthquakes. So 377 regular season appearances. Congrats to Diego Chara. All of his teammates came out in number 21 tucked in warm-up jerseys. And Chara, you left us with the best memories, other than Denny Bawanga, in this entire match. So you made your 377th regular season appearance rather memorable, my friend. Thank you so much. Thought the honorary Falconer was really cool. Olympic gold medalist gymnast Nastia Lukin was the honorary Falconer. That's just so cool, man. When we get these Olympic gold medalists out there and these all-time great sports, we've had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out there. I mean, we've had so many great sports figures in and out. And we've had, I mean, look, we've just, honorary Falconers are cool, man. That's probably a low-key life goal of mine to one day, maybe after we do this podcast for 20 years and we get to episode 1,000 or whatever, they'll let Philly in the Scarf be the honorary Falconers for the match. That'll be pretty cool. Episode 1,000, we'll do that. Let's see if we can talk to some people there and make that happen. And yes, as Gabe mentioned, there was also a pretty cool moment, although I would have loved, is it weird, you guys, that I would have absolutely loved to have had this moment when there were actually 22,000 people in the stadium, maybe like right before halftime is over or something like that. Something like that, to have the moment with Maxime Crépeau. I kind of wanted that with Latif Blessing and obviously with Chicho Arango as well. But the announcement of Maxime and then everybody yelled, Crépeau, and that happened 3 times before the match. It was pretty cool. And Maxime, look, it's hard to dislike Maxime Crépeau, even though he left us, right? because it's not as if he left us on bad terms. Maxime Crépeau left partially because he knew Hugo Lloris would be our keeper, and he was a cheaper option than Maxime would have been. And a player the pedigree of Hugo Lloris, even Maxime Crépeau, as competitive as he might be, might have to at least for a second tip his cap before he goes to work against a guy like Hugo Lloris because of the pedigree and everything that he's done. I'm still waiting for Hugo to really assert himself as the dominant keeper I would like him to be, although he has made excellent saves match in and match out. But Maxime, for the most part, did not leave on bad terms, did not leave without LAFC kind of trying to work things out initially, right? And then he goes to Portland. And if you watch the match 2 weeks ago, there are a lot of ways that Maxime Crépeau could have walked in to Providence Park when he got there to play us 2 weeks ago. There are a lot of ways that Maxime Crépeau could have gone. What he chose to do was to walk by the traveling supporters, the 3252 up there in Portland, and stop and give his love to them. And that's something that you knew that Maxime Crépeau chose to do. Same thing after the match. If you all stuck around, if you were there after the match, Maxime Crépeau was the last person from the Portland Timbers off the pitch. He gave a massive hug and really talked for a while with Jesus Murillo. He did the same thing with Steve Cherundolo. He did the same thing with Giorgio Chiellini, with several of his backline guys who were out there. Maxime Crépeau really does still love and respect this club quite a bit. And I'll say it, if nobody else will, I was really glad, A, Maxime Crépeau had a wonderful game against us, and B, it still ended in that 3-2 victory. So despite Maxime standing on his head, and I love the quote that Mario has here, I'll put it on screen, Crépeau was making Lloris standard saves at the game. You are absolutely right. Maxime Crépeau, in my opinion, did everything he needed to do to keep Portland in that match. But look, it's all good because we got the 3 points thanks to St. Denis. So let's get in to the Portland versus LAFC matchup with Phil Neville bringing out his 4-2-3-1. And the thing that surprised me more than anything else was that there was no Evander, not even in the 18, picked up an injury. And in my opinion, Evander was the straw that stirred the drink against us 2 weeks ago. That is why we wound up leaving there, despite going up a man with plenty of time to capitalize it. Unfortunately, that meant that because of Evander, we walked away with the 2-2 tie, could not capitalize on being up a man. So no Evander, and I thought, first 45 minutes, we look great. I'll talk about that in a minute. In goal, Maxime Crépeau. Their back line, I thought the breakout player for me, I knew Cabecita would be good. I knew that Evander, if he played, I knew he was talented, right? I mean, they've got a lot of talent, and Antony is a very, very talented player. You go up and down the lineup. But the player that really stood out for me last match was their outside back, Juan Mosquera. Juan Mosquera really did stand out several times, both on the offensive end, pushing up the way we like to use players like Sergi Palencia and certainly Ryan Hollingshead and even Omar Campos in this match as well. I thought Mosquera was the player that really jumped off the pitch in terms of how well he played and in terms of his 1v1 efforts against Denis Bawanga, especially early on in that match. So Juan Mosquera was a player who I was really looking forward to seeing how we would respond to his excellent game last match. So Juan Mosquera starting along with Miguel Araujo, Kamal Miller, who wound up helping out LAFC quite a bit, as we will get into, and Claudio Bravo on the back line. You had Diego Chara and Eric Williamson in the middle for at least most of the match. And then up top, they ran a 4-2-3-1, the three being Antony, Santiago Moreno, and Cabecita Jonathan Rodriguez, who is as good as advertised. Both last game after they went down a man, he was maybe the best offensive player of the match. After Portland went down a man, still looked just as good. And again, this match with a goal as well. Yeesh. Jonathan Cabecita Rodriguez is very, very good. And the tip of that diamond would be Felipe Mora, who I thought played a very good game. The five players who wound up checking into the match out of the 18 for Portland: Eric Miller, Dairon Asprilla, Christian Paredes, David Ayala, and Zach McGraw. For LAFC, it would be a little bit of a different starting lineup. We kind of got spoiled through the first eight matches. This one would be a little different, beginning with Hugo Lloris in goal. Sergi Palencia and Ryan Hollingshead on the wings, with Murillo and Maxime Cheneau getting his another extended minutes for LAFC, getting the start here. And this match, I thought he played very, very well. I asked Steve Cherundolo about that in the press conference. He said, yeah, Maxime played great. Both Maxes actually played very well. He alluded to that with Maxime Crepeau. The unquestioned, even with as well as Deniba Wanga has been playing lately, the unquestioned MVP of our season so far is one Timothy Tillman, who's doing a wonderful job in midfield alongside Ilya Sanchez and Edward Atuesta to start, Kike Oliveira and Deniba Wanga outside of Matty Bogusz, and our LAFC bench consisting of Kai Kamara, Eddie Segura, Eric Duenas, Nathan Ordaz, Abraham Romero, Omar Campos, Tomas Angel, and Luis Muller. A couple of those guys would see action. Those are the lineups. We've already heard what happened in pregame, so let's kick it off. And honestly, in the third minute, that's right, excuse me, Ruben Rios wants to correct me on Timothy Tillman's pronunciation. It's actually Himothy. You're absolutely right, Himothy. We started off very well. And I'm going to say this about the first half. It was, in my opinion, the most assertive first half that we have played. I think the best that we looked over 45 minutes of any point in our season. I will work on pronouncing Luis Muller. Sorry, Luis Muller. I got to pronounce the umlaut. I'm being corrected on my umlaut pronunciation. Luis Muller. There you go. Is it Muller or Mueller? Mueller? Muller. God, if Philly was here right now, he would be making fun of me like no other. Is it Mueller or Muller? Tomas, I think it's Muller, right? Like Tomas Muller? I don't know. Anyways, moving on. Mueller. It is Mueller. Okay, Mueller. Joey is correcting me. Mueller. Okay, Luis Mueller. Well, the good German name like Luis, it's hard to get the other part right. Sorry. Third minute. You are absolutely doing your Philly business. We go off from the very start of this half, 45 minutes, best half that we have played all season. We absolutely dominated well over 60% of the possession, well over 60% of the possession. But it's not just having the possession. It was doing whatever we wanted to on the pitch for most of this first half. I thought it was a masterclass in the way that LAFC can play when we have possession. Definitely the best that we've played for 45 minutes. It starts off with Denis off a good through ball. It was over the top from inside the box, but a tough angle and good defending. But Denis already 3 minutes in, putting the pressure on. Kike Oliveira being offside, but a great save by Maxime Crepeau in the fifth. And absolutely brilliant. And we haven't talked about this enough on the podcast, I don't think. Andy, welcome. Andy Savage just commented, first time watching, love the content. Andy, we love you for checking in here to Defenders of the Bank. Please like, subscribe, do all the cool stuff, and then go to defendersofthebank.com and buy merch. Yeah. Look, eighth minute. We have not yet talked about Matty Bogusz enough this season on his corner kicks. There have been a couple that are a little out there, but the corner kicks, for the most part, by Mateusz Bogusz have been unbelievable. Talk about one of those places where losing Kellen Acosta hasn't hurt us nearly as much as one thought it might. An absolutely incredible display this match on corner kicks, a perfect corner kick by Matty Bogusz. And the header by Ilya Sanchez off the post, recycled out. and Denny cooking one deep into the north end in the eighth minute. But it's that initial effort, the first real good scoring chance of the match comes off of an LAFC corner kick. Matty Bogusch to Ilya Sanchez off the post initially. We would catch Woodwork several other times in this match, but for the good, which was pretty surprising because that has not been us at all. But either way, it's one of those that we are continuing to keep pressure. That is a good sentiment, Joey. We are continuing to keep pressure on the back line and on Maxime Crépeau with our set pieces. And I thought that was incredibly important. Honestly, from the 15th minute until maybe about the 19th, 20th minute, Maxime Crépeau just stood on his head. He played so well for Portland. In the 15th, Maxime comes out to take a pass away with a full layout dive in the middle of the box. In the 16th minute, he makes a pretty easy shot, save on Denis Bawanga's shot. In the 19th minute, Kike Oliveira has his shot saved. The rebound comes out to Denis, and Denis puts it into the side netting. I would really like to have seen Denis maybe dribble that ball at Max just a little bit more. Maybe he had enough time. It's easy for me to say it. It's not like I know how to do any of these things I'm saying maybe Denis Bawanga could have done. Not me, not Scarf, that's for sure. That's why I'm way over here, and Denis Bawanga is way over there. But LAFC keeping the pressure on with another corner from Matty Bogusch with Max from Max's left, but nothing there. But it's just one of those things that Maxime Crépeau kind of felt himself get into the game a little bit there. But just 5 minutes later, and Joey, I'll get to your comment in just a second because I like it a lot. Just 5 minutes later, Denis Bawanga making an absolutely wonderful run. We actually don't know if this goal ever would have counted as to whether or not Denis Bawanga was offside. But unfortunately, the beautiful goal with a little chip over Maxime Crépeau, BMO Stadium going nuts. A great through ball by Timothy Tillman. A perfect chip over Maxime Crépeau. 1-0, 25 minutes in. Not so fast, my friends, if I could borrow a line from Lee Corso. Unfortunately, the way in which Timothy Tillman was able to make the through ball pass, a beautiful line splitter, was because he handled it with his arm. And I'll say this, it was the right call. It looked to me like the only way that he kept it from skipping completely away from his body was because that arm was a little away from his body and he was able to knock it back down. It's not the popular decision to agree with Ishmael Elfath, and I thought Ishmael Elfath was terrible in this match, but I thought in this case, and it wasn't Ishmael Elfath getting it right as much as it was VAR, but that being said, seeing the ball go through the back of the net, I think that was a big thing to help Denis Bawanga. 25th minute, though, goal by Denis. 26th minute, VAR. 27th minute, no goal, handball, Timothy Tillman. 28th minute, Ishmael Elfath walks over to Phil Neville and shows him yellow. Not sure why, but he definitely said some things he probably shouldn't have. There was just an awful lot of Ishmael Elfath in this game. Like we said, 11 total yellow cards, including the one that turned red for Diego Chara. Just a lot for him to do. I agree with J. David Wallace here, saying ref was in the best possible position and cannot make the call from 10 feet away. I will say he did say right away that there might be a handball. I think he let play on, which I actually would prefer Ishmael Elfath doing, to let play on and then to go back and have VAR review it. So J. David Wallace, I think it was the right play to keep things continue the run of play, and then blow it dead once the ball goes into the back of the net and take a look. I would much rather do that than to kill the play right there because of a handball, unless you are 100% sure, which he clearly was not. And look, I'll say this. One of the things that Kike Oliveira has been under fire for, and rightfully so, are some crosses that have been pretty terrible. In the 41st minute, Kike Oliveira had an absolutely beautiful cross that went in between Denis Bawanga and Matty Bogusch that I thought could have easily resulted in our first goal of the match there in minute 41. However, Let's pick up action in the 43rd minute, where Cabecita almost embarrassing Sergi Palencia, all from a very bad Edward Atuesta turnover, where Atuesta was just kind of jogging back, not really getting back into position. I didn't love the effort from Edward Atuesta in this match. I'm still waiting for that maturity and leadership to show through over 90 minutes. I know we're only 10 matches into the season, but this was a player who was supposed to have gone over to Brazil, to Corinthians, and to really find himself. Palmeiras, was supposed to have gone over to Palmeiras and really found himself leadership-wise. I don't see that as much as I would like to, although he is giving a lot of different commands and actions when he's out there. I just don't see him putting himself into the best position sometime, especially in the defensive half or defensive third when we need him to, but that is neither here nor there. Atuesta, a bad turnover. What a save by Hugo Lloris on Cabecita there in the 43rd minute. Marlon's asking, by the way, what's going on with David Martinez? He has a back injury, and from what we understand, it's just been tight and stiff, and he's been unable to go. So David Martinez, not in the 18. He was listed as out on the injury report with a back injury. So after the save by Cabecita, by Hugo Lloris. Ooh, Marlon's saying Hugo Lloris will be the downfall of LAFC in the playoffs. No, I don't know about that. Sit tight there. 44th minute, and Portland, just like Maxime Crépeau tried to do 2 weeks ago, Portland helping LAFC out again. Edward Atuesta, as much as I just got on you for waiting to see the leadership and some other things, your line-splitting pass to Denis Bawonga on the left-hand side sent Denis Bawonga, and Denis with a beautiful cross. And look, Kamal Miller, a sliding stop, the ball into the back of the net off of the leg of Kamal Miller. If Kamal Miller doesn't get a touch on that ball, Kike Oliveira is scoring that goal. It was a perfect cross from Denis Bawonga. So all I will say is we can get on Kamal Miller for the own goal if you want, Portland fans, but you know what? It wasn't Kamal Miller's fault. If he doesn't stop that ball, very simply, it's going to be a goal 100%. Oh, boy. Lakers. It's going to be a goal 100% for Kike Oliveira. So an own goal for Portland. LAFC going up 1-0 on an absolutely perfect cross by Denis Bawonga. Denis, the last LAFC player to touch it. But as I learned a couple of matches ago, it's only not an own goal if it was already headed on target to begin with. And this one certainly was not. So that's a goal for Denis Bawonga. We get into stoppage time. We've got 4 minutes of stoppage time. And Sergi Palencia losing Cabecita again. He went for a header and the ball went straight over the top, but luckily came all the way back to block Cabecita's shot there in the box. That could have been very dangerous and took the momentum completely away from LAFC after they scored just 3 minutes earlier. But you want to talk about a play that just crushes momentum going into the half. We're talking about an LAFC side that was playing downhill the entire first half, controlling possession, making great passes, really doing what they wanted with the match. And in the 4th minute of stoppage time, Kike Oliveira does a fantastic job of taking on two defenders, circling back out to the top of the box, a little touch pass to Timothy Tillman. And just like the Golden State Warriors do so often, where it's Steph Curry coming down the floor with a full head of steam and someone drops him off a little pass so he can step right into a three and splash Brothers Central. That is exactly what Timothy Tillman did for LAFC. Stepped right into it with the right foot off the inside of the far post. Bank and in. Timothy Tillman, the unquestioned MVP for LAFC through 10 matches. Timothy Tillman scoring yet again. That is now 4 on the season for Timothy Tillman. Congrats to Kike Oliveira. Kudos, my friend, for making an incredible pass, but not not because it was a difficult pass, but because you took on two defenders to clear that space open for Timothy Tillman so that when you make the pass, luckily Ishmael Elfath got out of the way, and an absolute rocket of a shot by Timothy Tillman, a backbreaker of a goal. LAFC going up 2-0 at the half. And man, we all went up into halftime. We went to the little bar area over there in Founders Club. And we were so excited about the way that LAFC was playing. We were so enthusiastic about the way that the second half could have gone. It did not go that way. I do not understand. I know Phil Neville went in at halftime and changed some things, and Portland wasn't dropping back nearly as much. They were playing a much higher line, causing LAFC to turn the ball over a little bit more. LAFC took a while to adjust, and I'll say this, I don't think they actually did adjust until Portland went down to 10 men, which we'll get to in just a minute. But for LAFC to play as well as we did in the first half, and then as poorly as we did over the next 35 minutes to start the second half, man, that was super frustrating. Ruben, I will talk about their potential DP signing. You're talking about Chucky Lozano. He's asking us about San Diego, potentially signing Chucky. But the way that we played in the first half, if we would have just kept our foot on the throttle and adjusted a little bit to Portland playing a little bit higher, I think we would have been fine. We were not fine. Eric Miller coming on for Juan Mosquera. Juan Mosquera did not play well in those first 45. And who knows, maybe Eric Miller would have done a little bit more of what Phil Neville wanted him to there going into the second half. Clearly it helped because all the subs wound up helping. But man, we had a yellow card in the 52nd. We had a yellow card in the 54th. We had a yellow card in the 55th. And wow, it was getting chippy. You really felt like, all right, here it is. You know those boxing matches? I mentioned Arturo Gatti, Mickey Ward. If you guys, by the way, if you want to see the single greatest boxing match of all time, I love boxing. I will watch boxing any day of the week. Philly's the MMA guy, the UFC guy. I'm the boxing guy. Go back and watch Arturo Gatti, Mickey Ward 1. Such a sad thing that happened with Arturo Gatti, by the way. But Arturo Gatti, Mickey Ward 1 is, I mean, one of the greatest fights that you will ever see. And Marlon really ripping on Hugo Lloris right now in the chat. Not sure he's washed up, but we can talk about that in a minute. Check out Arturo Gatti, Mickey Ward. It was a fight the entire time. Couple of rounds, though, to warm up. You almost saw the first half was maybe Portland warming up just a little bit, really looking to find themselves out there on the pitch. But then these next 10, 15 minutes until about the hour mark, when they bring in Dairon Asprilla for Antony, they already brought in Eric Miller for Juan Mosquera. And now you thought, okay, now Portland's got the lineup and made the changes that they want because they really took it to us to start the first half. And just lazy defending by LAFC in the 63rd minute. And you kind of felt things start to unravel just a little bit. Like, we just weren't sharp anymore. We weren't defending with the same enthusiasm and energy that we needed to. Edward Atuesta, he seemed disinterested sometimes when he was out there. Luckily, we defend the corner well, but just a couple of minutes later, 65th minute, Ryan Hollingshead, he falls down and hustled his butt off to get back and to create what would have been a goal-scoring opportunity and a corner kick. But unfortunately, that corner kick does result in a goal for Portland. And someone did say in the chat, and I want to see, where are we at here in the chat? Here we go. It was Joey who says, I completely agree about corner kicks, though it's a little reminiscent of earlier seasons, both good on set pieces and a bit susceptible. And what Joey is talking about is that bit of susceptibility on corners. We saw Portland score their two goals against us 2 weeks ago on corner kicks. Now, this one, the ball was recycled out, but it was absolutely 100% coming off of a corner kick. The corner was played out by Maxime Cheneau, who did a wonderful job in the air for us, by the way. And something that I asked Steve Cherundolo about, which I thought was kind of interesting, other than Edward Atuesta, who should have touched the ball more than almost any other player, especially because he was on for the full 90 and Ilya Sanchez was not. Other than Edward Atuesta in this match, the two players that completed the most passes, were Jesus Murillo and Maxime Cheneau. So if you have Edward Atuesta, I think it was Edward Atuesta completing 60 passes, but then Murillo completing 55, Cheneau completing 54, or flip it, it might have been Cheneau 55 and Murillo 54. Either way, they were right there. We're talking about three players right at the top with almost 60 passes. It's interesting to me that two of those players are our center backs. We are still really building out of the back. So the corner played out by Maxime Cheneau, but it got recycled back to Cabecita after LAFC had trouble clearing. It was an absolute laser on the ground. I think, what did Brian Dunseth call it? A daisy cutter? I thought that was kind of a neat name for it. A daisy cutter. Not great defending by Edward Atuesta. You look, and he comes to run all the way out on Cabecita, but he runs all the way out so much so that Cabecita just took one step over to his right and whoop. Marlon, we'll get to your topic in a second. A little bit of negativity, Marlon, but that's okay. Negativity helps push the envelope for us a little bit. So I like it. Keep coming in the chat, Marlon. I like that. This is good. But Edward Atuesta and his defending, he like came out, but instead of trying to stay in front of Cabecita at all and hedge in any direction whatsoever, he overcommits to coming right at Cabecita. Cabecita takes one step over, blasts the shot low and on the ground. Hugo saw it the whole way, but absolutely nothing he could do. And LAFC has our lead cut in half, 2-1 LAFC now, and Portland looking very, very, very confident. I'll put Marlon's comment up. We'll talk about Marlon's comment in a little bit. In the 68th minute, Eric Williamson picking up a yellow. In the 72nd minute, let's flash forward to minute number 72. Diego Chara, who I believe, if I remember correctly, is the all-time leader in yellow cards in Major League Soccer history. Very few reds if you think of all the yellows that he's gotten. But all-time leader in yellow cards, I believe, is Diego Chara. And I said, hey, we saw history after Diego got his yellow card. We saw him add to his historic yellow card total in the 72nd minute. But Diego, in a little bit, will ask you very politely to please hold his beverage because here comes another. But before that, unfortunately, 73rd minute. A great ball from Ryan Hollingshead to Maxime Cheneau, but his header is off target. And what I liked about Maxime Cheneau in this case, Maxime Cheneau misses the header. And if you watch, he's super pissed at himself for missing the header. And he absolutely should have had a goal on this one. I mean, his header being off target, he was close enough to where this should have at least been put on target, if not in the back of the net. But in the same set of sequence of plays. After this, his header being off target, Portland starts to build from the back and they score on the very next timeout. Go back and watch. Maxime Cheneau is pissed at himself because he knows if he scores that on the other end, this doesn't happen on our end. 73rd minute goal from Portland. And I was beyond frustrated with this. A cross played into the box, deflected out by Maxime Cheneau, but unfortunately, it goes right to Santi Moreno. And Ilya, look, I don't know. He should have anticipated a little better. Maybe he got caught flat-footed. I don't know. But Ilya just couldn't get there, and it took a deflection off of Edward Atuesta, who was maybe a step late in coming over. Nothing that Hugo Lloris could have done, guys. On this second one, it is not on Hugo because that ball – it took a deflection, and if you watch from behind the play, the camera from behind the play shows it really well. The ball takes a deflection off of Atuesta and kind of it spins back around. It's almost like one of those Massé trick shots in pool where he was able to kind of play it all the way around. Nothing that Santiago Moreno was trying to do happened on that play, and yet that ball found the back of the net. Again, not great defending, though, as we couldn't close out space. Ilya got caught a little bit behind. Atuesta got caught coming over a little bit late. And just like that, we're tied 2-2 in the 73rd minute. And I turned and I said, there's no way. There's no way this is going to happen again, right? Another 2-2. Well, luckily, we got a little bit of help from the last player that I thought LAFC would ever get help from. And of course, that being Mr. 377 regular season games played himself, Diego Chara. Look, it was a clear yellow card in the 72nd minute. And my favorite part was it was Edward Atuesta who dispossesses Diego Chara and takes off in the other direction. And you just saw that Chara was probably a little pissed off about that happening and came back the other way, grabbed the shoulder of Atuesta first. Atuesta just kept playing through it and then made a second foul as he attempted to steal the ball from behind. And it was as clear of what needed to be a yellow card. Didn't matter if Chara was already on one or not. Didn't matter if Chara is a league all-time great and veteran or not. That is a yellow card 100% of the time. Unfortunately for Diego Chara, as we mentioned just 4 minutes earlier, really, Diego? Just 4 minutes earlier, he already picked up a yellow. So yellow and yellow equal red. And it's, by the way, two fouls in the middle of the park. So LAFC goes up a man with 14 or more like 13 and change. And Steve Cherundolo pushing some chips into the middle with Kai Kamara coming in for Ilya Sanchez and Omar Campos coming in for Ryan Hollingshead, which means Kamara moves up top into the nine. So with Ilya coming out, Edward Atuesta moves to the middle. Matty Bogush moves to the left-hand side. You have a like-for-like substitution with Ryan Hollingshead and Omar Campos. And so doing what he can with the roster that he has. Now, there are many of you that Marlon in the chat said, I get we have a lack of depth, but Dolo doesn't even show interest in substitutions. I don't know how many guys on the bench Steve Cherundolo at this moment feels like have done it before. I'm not saying we don't have guys on the bench that can do something. But what I am saying is, I don't know how many guys on the bench have done it before. Maybe they're doing it in practice. Maybe they're doing it. Maybe they're not. Maybe they've done it on a lower level. But certainly, as I look out over our bench and we just look at our strikers up top, right? We already know we're lacking a true nine unless Kai Kamara is on the pitch. We're lacking a true nine. So when we bring in Kai Kamara, we need those players on the wings like Kiki Oliveira and Denis Bawanga who have done it before. We're seeing really good things from 91, Luis Muller. We're seeing some really good things from Luis Muller in a limited amount of time. And I can tell you watching him play with LAFC 2, which I have every single match that he has played, he looks very, very good for LAFC 2 as well. But Nathan Ordaz provides a certain kind of spark for us off the bench. It just hasn't translated to anything that would show up on the back of the Topps baseball card yet, or excuse me, Topps soccer card yet. Same thing with Eric Duaneus. He gives us a spark off the bench, but I'm not sure it's anything quantifiable and anything that has led to goals per se. On our back line, we already mentioned how thin we are after Ryan Hollingshead, Omar Campos, and Sergi Palencia on the wingbacks. There's nobody else, really. And at center back right now, with the injury to Aaron Long, because Long, of course, being out, still dealing with that shin injury, we've only got Eddie Segura back there, and we've seen the troubles that Eddie has had so far. We all love Eddie Segura, but that knee is still not yet, or at least his game speed is still not yet at 100%. So I don't know that we have many options that have done it before. Omar Campos is an option that we want to continue to do it for us. Hasn't done it yet. Same thing with Nathan Ordaz. Same thing with Eric Duaneus. We know Kai Kamara has done it before. The guy has the third most goals in the history of our league, so I think we're going to continue to see more of him. But we are up a man with 14 minutes, actually 11 minutes to go after the sub for Kai Kamara and Omar Campos coming in. Maxime Crepeau making a great save on Timothy Tillman in the 81st minute. Denis might have also been offside. A diving save by Max also in the 81st minute on Kike Oliveira. The corner didn't really net us a whole lot. And then in the 82nd minute, that save that Maxime Crepeau makes on Kai Kamara. Now, the three best opportunities, I went back and watched the last couple of games. I've watched every minute that Kai Kamara has played this season several times now. Many of his shots are going right at keepers, which is a little difficult if you're trying to catch and then pass San Jose Earthquakes legend Landon Donovan for second place all time in MLS scoring. But an incredible save by Maxime Crépeau on Kai Kamara in the 82nd minute. I thought, man, Maxime's going to stand on his head and they're going to walk away with this match or walk away with a point from this match. LAFC earning a corner in the scarf minute in the 83rd. But they bring on Zach McGraw and David Ayala for Cabecita and Eric Williamson. Bus parking by Portland, because now Portland, after the 83rd minute, is playing not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six in the back. That's right, six in the back for Portland. And it would not be enough. Kai Kamara picking up a yellow card right before stoppage time. And off of a corner kick again. It is Edward Atuesta with the corner kick in the second minute of stoppage. And then just chaos in the box for a little bit. Kai Kamara is still, I mean, he's going to see Maxime Crépeau in his sleep. What a save by Maxime Crépeau on Kai Kamara. The ball gets cycled out to Denis Bawanga as he comes in from the left-hand side, stepped right up and hit it just the same way that Timothy Tillman did. This one into the side netting, goal, and this place went nuts. Absolutely nuts. Saint-Denis bringing us 3 points with a stoppage time goal. Absolutely incredible. And look, what we all know about Denis Bawanga, guys, and this is what we saw from Chicho Arango for many years. This is what we saw from Adama Diomande much of the time. It doesn't matter how much time is left on the clock. Denis Bawanga is not going to give up on results ever. He is going to play as hard and as efficiently as he possibly can for whether it's 90 minutes, 92 minutes, 95 minutes, 99 minutes. Like Bill Murray said in Meatballs, it just doesn't matter. He went off. And by the way, when he scored the goal, and I asked Denis about this in the press conference, it just looked like he got a little more fired up than usual. Maybe it was the fact that he celebrated with a cell phone about scoring a goal that didn't actually count. That was kind of weird. LAFC kind of engineered that weird cell phone celebration moment. That was kind of weird. The best celebration of all, if you guys haven't seen it on, I don't know where the cool kids go for things, Instagram, TikTok, wherever it is that we put it up, not we, but LAFC, the celebration with the security guard afterwards who's standing by the corner flag, and everybody winds up jumping on the security guard as they're celebrating this goal. Kai Kamara gets into it with him. Denis Bawanga is right there. It was just a really cool moment, and you could just tell there was a weight just thrown off of the shoulders of LAFC on this one after that goal by Denis Bawanga, after two equally frustrating, but for two completely different reasons, 2-2 draws. We get this 3-2 win, which was massive. In the 6th minute, by the way, as more of a stall substitution than anything else, Luis Mueller coming in for Kike Oliveira to give himself another minute in black and gold. But just like that, LAFC from the depths, pulling one out. Saint-Denis with a rocket from the top of the box, corner of the left-hand side, and LAFC goes on to take all 3 points from Portland. Post-match, I mentioned this at the top, I'll say it one more time, Maxime Crépeau was the last person off the pitch for Portland. He spent an extended amount of time with Jesus Murillo, with Steve Cherundolo, with Giorgio Chiellini, with several other people out there for LAFC. Maxime Crépeau, again, kudos on an amazing performance. You did everything you needed to do to keep your team in it. We still are able to get the 3 points, which is massive, because now, after all of the Week 10 matches are played, we sit fifth in the West on 15 points, but only 3 back of the top. It's RSL and Carson. Chicho Arango just carrying Real Salt Lake right now. I believe it's, 8 goals and 7 assists through 10 matches. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. 8 goals, 7 assists, tied for the league lead in assists with, I don't know, some guy you might have heard of named Messi, and one behind the league leader in goals. Also, that same guy named Messi, 9 goals, 7 assists through, what is it, 10 matches so far for Inter Miami. Good Lord. But LAFC has seemed like we've righted the ship a little bit, right? Unbeaten in our last 4, starting to feel a little bit better. I know the 2-2 draw against Portland kind of felt like a loss, and the 2-2 draw that we had last time out felt a lot more like a draw or a win. I'll answer, Marlon, I'll answer your question in just a second. I like it. But that being said, I really do believe that these were an incredibly important 3 points over the course of our 34-match season. I think these might be 3 points that we look at that, after having dropped points on several different occasions, to get these 3 points back from the depths, I think is going to be very significant for us. Our next match, Saturday, May 4th at Levi's Stadium in San Francisco. That's right. We are headed up to play the San Jose Earthquakes, but not at PayPal Park. No. At Levi's Stadium in San Francisco. That's when you know that LAFC is a big draw, because they only do this. I'm assuming they do it for Carson. We all know they do it for Inter Miami, and they do it for LAFC. So this match against San Jose means a little bit more on Cuatro de Mayo, May 4th, 4:30 p.m. And LAFC continuing the unbeaten streak at home. We are playing much better on the home than on the road, at home than on the road, considering we have not won a road match yet this season. Yikes. But that being said, again, 5th in the West, 15 points, taking on San Jose at Levi's Stadium Saturday, May 4th. And don't forget, we got an Open Cup match in Vegas coming up soon. Can't wait for the Open Cup match against the Las Vegas Lights. I'll say this to Marlon's question right here at the end. Marlon did a great job of sparking lots of different questions in the chat on this one here on episode 298, 2 away from 300. We're working on something. We're seeing if we can get some things done in the works. But either way, 298, I'll say this. Who would I rather have, Maxime Crépeau or Hugo Lloris, is the question. It's Scarf here answering this question for you. I can tell you that at the start of the season, if you ask me who I would rather have in goal, it would have been Hugo Lloris. 10 games into the season, Hugo hasn't done as much as I might have liked to cement the way that I think about it. And I know Hugo Lloris is not nearly as vocal of a leader as Maxime Crépeau is, but I will say this. Watching Hugo Lloris day in and day out, Mario is absolutely right. I would rather have Giorgio Chiellini than both. You're absolutely right. What I like about Hugo Lloris is he is still absolutely, unquestionably a leader back there. He has made some incredible saves for us this season. I don't think he has let as many in that maybe Maxime Crépeau would have saved. I think we look at Maxime Crépeau, rightfully so, with some rose-colored glasses, and we certainly love Maxime Crépeau here on this podcast. But that being said, I'm still going to go with Hugo Lloris, number one, because he's the guy we've got, and number two, he hasn't done much in the way of playing as poorly as I think a lot of people might be thinking he's done. I've watched him game in and game out. Marlon, I just don't think it's that bad, to be perfectly honest. I think Hugo will be totally fine. Mario is right, though. I'd just rather have Giorgio Chiellini back at center back. Last thing let's talk about. We're all the way here at the end of the podcast. You guys have been with me for an hour and 4 minutes, and for that, I could not be more grateful. Can't wait to have Philly back on the next one when he gets back from Chihuahua. Many of you might have seen that San Diego FC are in, I believe it's advanced talks, or however Tom Bogert put it, but it was Tom Bogert who put it, so I have a lot of trust and stock and faith in that. That Chucky Lozano might be the first designated player for San Diego FC. Talking about a $12 million fee or $12 million payout to get Chucky Lozano here. I think it's brilliant. I think we did something great by bringing Carlos Vela over when Carlos Vela wasn't even the biggest name, I think, look, they've talked about it before on several podcasts and several talks that I've had with people higher up at LAFC early on. At one point, it was going to be Chicharito, and it just didn't work out. It didn't work out at the time for Chicharito. We brought in Carlos Vela instead. I think the rest is serendipity, not just history, but serendipity. Those first 6 years with Carlos Vela at the helm, I don't think any club would trade any other run of 6 years for the 6 years of success that we had with Carlos Vela at LAFC. There are a few clubs that have won a few titles in 6 years, but as consistently successful as we were over the course of that time, I think Carlos Vela wound up being the perfect person at the perfect time. I think Chucky Lozano could be that person for San Diego. Not saying he's going to bring all the success, but he's going to put butts in seats. He's going to get, especially the Mexican fan base in San Diego, extremely excited for this new club, San Diego FC. But I don't know what else they're going to do with their roster. So who knows, right? But when you take a big swing like that and you hit, it's a good start for San Diego. I know that I imagine many people listening to this podcast, the faithful black and gold, want a player like Chucky Lozano at LAFC. But that being said, I think that Chucky Lozano is a great step in the right direction. Mario says, wait, so they weren't going to be another LAFC, but first EP is an amazing player. Mario, not sure what you're asking there, but I can tell you that LAFC was definitely looking to bring in a high quality player to start. And Chicharito and Carlos Vela were both very high on the list at that time. All right. So that being said, guys, next match, Saturday, May 4th. Feel free to hit us up in the chat with all of your questions. Hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, anywhere you can reach us. Don't forget, like, subscribe, turn on notifications, go to defendersofthebank.com. Check out our merch. We're going to have new merch styles coming up again soon, next couple of weeks or so from our good friends at 500 level. You guys, this was so much fun. I love doing these solo episodes, but I miss Philly, and you guys all miss him too. There's not nearly as many rants, and thank goodness, not nearly as much Hello Kitty on these episodes when Philly is not here, but I miss my partner in pod. You guys have made this a wonderful episode. Marlon, Mario, Ruben, everybody who has kept the chat alive, Joey, Ben, I miss you, buddy. Ben, we got to hang out. J. David Wallace back into the chat again, by the way. Joey, again, all of you guys, an amazing job. Love you guys in the chat. And with that being said, you know how we like to end each and every one of our podcasts. Bye-bye.